Well, in the early hours of this morning, North Korea has launched another missile, this time over Japan. Japanese state media are reporting that the ballistic missile broke into three parts and landed in the ocean. No one's been hurt, and for that, we are incredibly thankful. But it's another alarming act of aggression, and it comes obviously after a war of words between North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un and US President Donald Trump at the beginning of this month. Now, what we know is that South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff say the missile was fired from a place called Sunan. That's a northeastern suburb of Pyongyang, apparently near the city's international airport. The missile was airborne, for about 14 minutes. It flew about 2,500 kilometres and over the top of Hokkaido, the northern Japanese island, before crashing into the Pacific. Japanese President Shinzo Abe made some brief remarks on his way into an emergency cabinet meeting. He said, "North Korea has launched a missile. It's likely that it's flown over our country. We'll immediately gather information and analyse it and take all possible measures to ensure people's safety." So that's the Japanese President Shinzo Abe. Japanese officials have described the launch as unprecedented, grave, and a serious threat to the country. That's what we know so far. My guest on the program this morning is a nuclear non-proliferation expert and a senior lecturer at RMIT University School of Global, Urban and Social Studies, Dr. Aidan Warren. Aidan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How do we interpret this?
Look, it's a big development, I would argue. Basically, you have I think we've, as I've pointed out before, we've kind of normalised in this behaviour, but we have Kim launching this missile over the sovereign territory of Japan. I think that that in itself is a big deal when you look at any sort of notion of international relations. It's cutting across the geographical space, the sovereignty of the Japanese state, and that's a big development as far as I'm concerned.
Obviously, the Japanese Prime Minister and the Cabinet are all involved at the moment in an emergency meeting as they figure out how to respond. We're yet to get too much of a response from the US, but the Pentagon has confirmed the basic outlines of the information that I've just read out. We haven't yet heard from the President, Donald Trump. What do you think happens next in the interim?
Look, I think it's just like the US is weighing up the situation, is trying to determine the extent to how far the missile, well, obviously we know how far the missile in terms of trajectory and that has gone. I think they're just trying to weigh up and how to respond. I mean, obviously we've had about a month where there's been hiatus in terms of, you know, there hasn't been anything provocative from North Korea apart from the weekend and then, of course, overnight or this morning. And Tillerson's been putting forward the notion of undertaking or continuing a peaceful pressure campaign, but you know, this may kind of again ratchet up tensions and may ratchet up the notion of putting some military threat on the table from the US's perspective. So they will be, of course, their meeting, I would have no doubt, as we speak, trying to work out how to respond, because obviously that month hiatus, I should say, is kind of ended over the weekend and definitely overnight or this morning.
Yeah, I mean, it did seem for a while there as though Kim Jong-un was ready to step back from the brink, and I think Rex Tillerson, the US Secretary of State, had made remarks praising North Korea for not reacting to the annual US-South Korean military exercises, which have been ongoing since the 21st of this month, so a few days ago, or about a week ago. I mean, this obviously breaks that streak.
Well, it totally breaks the streak. I mean, you know, this is a really provocative act. North Korea is the only nation state that sends ballistic or shoots ballistic missiles over other countries' geographical space or sovereign space. I mean, that is a big deal in itself. But I think that this, you know, this obviously there has been, I mean, the president of Japan said it was unprecedented. There has been examples where there was a missile in 1998 and there was part of a missile in 2009. So there has been instances of this before, but this is definitely, to me, escalating tensions to, again, another dangerous level. And we just have to wait and see how Tillerson hopefully will be the one who responds. And then we'll have to see what will happen over the course of the next 3 to 4, 8 hours.
We understand that the Japanese made no attempt to shoot the missile down. Do we read anything into that one way or the other?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I've always been concerned about all these sort of missile attacks or these missile launches at various levels, failed ones, successful ones, and at different ranges have been problematic, you know, in themselves. But the thing that I've always been concerned about is the extent to which this could potentially escalate into something much more dangerous. Now, if Japan shoots down one of these missiles, well, then that could have kind of lead into all sorts of domains in terms of conflict, a skirmish, and then that could eventually lead into very quickly into something else. So that is probably a sort of a level of restraint. And also the notion they would have been watching it very carefully, knowing that any sort of parts of this launch, if any of the sort of parts of it actually would have fallen in the Japan state, well, then that would have been problematic. But yeah. I think it's just about restraining themselves because they know that deep down it could escalate into something really dangerous.
My guest on the program's Dr. Aidan Warren. He's a senior lecturer in international relations at RMIT, a nuclear non-proliferation expert, and we're talking about the news that North Korea has launched another ballistic missile, this time in the air for about 14 minutes, fired on a trajectory to the Pacific Ocean over the top of Japanese territory, over the top of the northern Japanese island of Hokkaido. And we're trying to unpack what it means. What role will the UN Security Council have here? There were resolutions passed in the past few weeks in relation to previous launches. Where does the UN Security Council stand now?
Well, of course, they won't be advocating any sort of force or preventive or preemptive strike, but they will be, again, trying to double down and ratchet up sanctions and resolutions in response to this. I mean, but it just seems to me that no matter how deep these sanctions go, the regime is getting to a level where there is no turning back. There is no turning point. I'm just trying to work out, even as we speak, a resolution to this situation, because these missile attacks, we've had, 17 or so in the last month. I mean, it's untenable. It's unsustainable. And I think that any sort of response, I mean, you're either looking at a preventive strike, which has massive ramifications potentially, or you're looking at just sort of drawing this line in the sand and then rubbing it out and moving it back again. So we're kind of in this sort of in-between zone as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. This particular launch, the nature of the trajectory of the missile, does it tell us anything about North Korea's capability? Do we learn any more about what, in fact, they are capable of, where their technology's up to?
Yeah, it does. It does. It tells me a lot. Number one, obviously, Guam is in decent proximity. It says it to me a bit that North Korea is saying, hey, here's this sort of test. Japan, how do you like this? And US, by the way, we can quite comfortably hit Guam if we ever got to that vicinity. It also says to me something about their technology in terms of their mobility. This is actually from, as you pointed out, a suburb in Pyongyang. And so They're getting the mobility in terms of where to launch these things from. So what it says to me later on down the track, if we ever wanted to undertake a preventive or preemptive strike, or the US did, well, of course, these guys, these sort of missiles are not going to be that easy to hit, particularly if they are quite mobile, particularly if the launchers are quite mobile. So that's also saying to the world, hey, we're not just robust and locked into the ground with these things. We can move them around.
Yeah, okay. So that teaches us a bit about the difficulty perhaps of honing in on one particular site or another particular site if, in fact, as you say, it gets to the point where there does need to be some preemptive action.
Well, that's it. Any sort of agility, any sort of increased technology or mobilization needs to be factored into any sort of response calculi. Yeah. And you know, there's no doubt that Tillerson is going for this notion and the US, and I've noticed that Trump's kept low-key on it. So Tillerson's doing all the talking about peaceful pressure and the peaceful pressure campaign.
Yeah.
And that's great. But there's just a lot of things we really consider at the moment, I think, in terms of that technology. I think Tillerson deep down knows that that any sort of response on a preventive level is just not, the ramifications far outweigh the actual execution of a preventive strike.
So the timing of this, obviously, as the US is But certainly the president, one would assume, is consumed by the response to Hurricane Harvey, which is causing unprecedented flooding in the Houston and Texas regions. Do we read anything into the timing from a North Korean point of view, or is it the sort of thing that they would have had to put preparation into train for some days or weeks ahead of launching a missile like this?
Well, there would have been some preparation in, but it also could have been following. I've read a bit of an interesting take by someone that was more probably to time in with all the drama surrounding Virginia and all the tensions within the domestic front and the US, that it was a good timing. There potentially could be good timing in relation to that. It just sort of follows that the hurricane in Texas has sort of coincided with the events, but it's a, you know, you've got all these three distinct events, the residue from Virginia, you've of course got Texas, and then of course this gets thrown into the equation. It's perfect timing from Kim's point of view, I'd argue, just in terms of getting inside that chaos.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll see where it goes. Aidan Warren, thanks for your time again today.
Anytime. Have a good day.
Aidan Warren, Senior Lecturer in International Relations, Nuclear Non-Proliferation Expert, RMIT University.